In this edition of After Hours, we're joined by a very special guest, the CIO of Payments Technology and NatWest Group, Mr. Ian Povey. In this interview, Ian and I discuss NatWest's payments modernization journey. We dig into some of the challenges the bank has been solving with technology, the pace of change in payments, and we gaze into the future about what's next for the bank. I hope you enjoy the interview, and don't forget to subscribe for more. Thank you. Welcome to After Hours by Red Compass Labs. After Hours is a series of interviews, discussions that we record with the best and the brightest in the payments industry, where we want them to relax, kick back, and tell us what they really think. And today's guest, Ian Povey, CIO of Payments Technology from NatWest Group, is a man who is not afraid to tell us what he really thinks. So I'm particularly looking forward to this conversation. Thank you for joining us today, Ian. We've been doing a little bit of work together over the last couple of years in and around the payments technology transformation at NatWest, and we've been delighted to be on this ride with you. Maybe just to kick things off, what is, would you say, in a nutshell, your overall payment strategy right now and aspects of the technology that you're grappling with?
Yeah, it's a great question. And look, you used the word transformation as well, and I want to sort of unpack that a little bit. And I think for a lot of people, it's about understanding it's about modernizing. So modernization is a word I'm starting to use more of. Mm. And then being able to, on the back of that, drive the innovation agenda as well. And part of the challenge with, you know, being in payments technology, you can be branded with more of a reg tech type lens at the moment, yeah, as opposed to the growth and features and sort of the stuff that really resonates with the end customer, mm, be they an individual, a company, or a government in that context. So when you're looking at the modernization, which is what it is in the first instance, it is about ensuring that we're in a position to respond faster, mm-hmm, to the changes that are happening in the industry, domestically and, of course, globally, if we look across border, but also to, you know, ease access for customers to the services and the capabilities that we actually have, be that, again, you know, on a merchant side or indeed just people wanting to you know, really support their customers, you know, at the end of the chain. Right. So it is about access, simplification, overall modernization, and that will allow us to be more agile and more relevant in this era.
Yeah, as the competition grows, competition for customers, competition for traffic, people's funds with new entrants on the market. I mean, there's a world of change in payments right now, as you know well, from new entrants, from regulations that are driving it, but customer demands are increasing endlessly, right?
Well, I talk about the Amazon effect, where customers are being trained, and customers were trained a lot during the COVID era as well. Mm. So they shifted their behaviors and, mm-hmm, accepted more around the digital and that expectation of always on. But then you overlay that with the regulatory and scheme works and mandates around, you know, ISO 2022 and the data uplift that comes into payments. And I always say, you know, without payments, you actually don't have a data pool in a bank. In, yeah, most organizations, because it is the behavioral and transactional data for a customer base.
Right.
And we need to respond to those vectors of change, and we need the technology to be able to be ready and able to support that new dynamic.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got to balance off being regulatory compliant, but that's, I think, driving you versus responding what the customer demands are going to be tomorrow. So how do you do that with that technology hat on? Yeah, exactly.
And one of the challenges there is, and I've been quoted over the years talking about rewiring with the lights on.
Yeah, exactly. You know, somewhat dangerous.
It is dangerous but necessary in payments. I can't turn off the faster payment system,
right,
just so I can tinker in the back end. I need to keep it running whilst we're changing. And you know, it's having that mindset in looking at how you then tackle the architecture and the solutions that you want to do, whether you set up a greenfield to migrate, whether you've got the opportunity like other countries have had, like Australia with MPP, uh-huh, to set up a totally greenfields payment scheme and then start it from scratch. So, you know, it's taking the lessons of those types of experiences and really going, you know, we can do migration work and we can do it safely, uh-huh, but you have to really understand the existing processes, the existing products, and frankly, the customer cohorts, so that you can actually de-risk that activity. But then finally, it comes back to my modernization point, because if you have the right technologies and you're thinking about solving the problems to the left as far as possible, so it's, yeah, not like, oh, that's an ops problem or we can just dump it on ops. You know, it's that mindfulness really shifts the culture of your delivery team, but also the patterns that you can use to move forward with.
Right, exactly. So modernization gives you the flexibility and the capability to react and respond and plot your way forward, I think, if you've got the right components in place. And the technology decisions you make are key to that, if you have the right technology components. And of course, then that enables you to make those changes in the sequence and the timing that you decide to do. That's to your point about rewiring while the lights are on. I think I've done that once and it hurt. With this, I guess, minefield of change that you have to make, obviously, I think no party can completely do it themselves. Mm. And, you know, we are delighted to jump on board with NatWest, and you brought Red Compass Labs in to help with some of that. Just a couple of minutes maybe on why would you bring in somebody like us to help with this transformation journey?
And that's something which I think leaders across the industry, irrespective of whether it's payments or not, need to reflect on. Because when we talk about, and I use an equation called success equals accountability plus empowerment. Uh-huh. And that empowerment word also includes a lot of things around the skills, the capabilities, and that, you know, the organization is able to tackle that new agenda, that new technology. Mm-hmm. So often you need to consider, do we need that injection of talent and capability to help fuel the engine, if you like, build up the DNA, and actually allow then the organization to pick up and carry on going forward. Yeah. So for me, the Red Compass model was very supportive of that, because it was about bringing in the people who've got the experience and different experience as well. So it's that diversity of sectors and organizations, bringing those ideas and skills to my team, implanting that as through osmosis.
Yeah, working closely with your team.
And really driving that up, and then allowing us to pick it up and continue to be more mature and comfortable to move forward, and then for empowered. And then the accountability is they then really own it, and then we can be successful in owning that. But we can't do that unless we have partners like Red Compass on the journey.
Right. I mean, exactly. And we're delighted to do that, because I guess the power of our people is, as you say, that the different experiences and bringing that to bear. And then part of the programs of work we do with you, part of that is to help stand up some of your people, right, to carry that work on. Just jumping into the technology point a little bit. So there's the people side of it, and then there's the technology. And I know that this whole subject of microservices, and maybe it's a buzzword, but in essence, it's about breaking down your tech stack into very small components that do simple things. And you couple them, you join them together to solve business problems. And, you know, changing the wiring with the lights on, you've got big payments platforms integrated into an ecosystem inside the bank that's grown up over many years, is complicated, it's mission critical. You can't just stop doing payments for a couple of weeks while you fix things. As you're making this change, and why wouldn't you just swap out your payments engine?
And look, you need to look at, it goes back to my modernization point though. Payments, as you were alluding to, is not an island in an organization like a bank. You know, my organization touches the entire group, you know, whether that be the channels at the front end all the way through to multiple operation centers at the back end. And then it's the network effect out in the industry itself, so the schemes and other participants.
Yeah.
And in our case as well, it's the agency bank model and supporting, you know, banks who are customers for their customers. So when we're looking at the microservices and APIs, it's really around allowing payments to be its own vehicle within that ecosystem. But back to my accessibility point earlier, it's simplifying that access, but also it allows us to be more modular in the way that we actually tackle what is a payments journey. And we overcomplicate, and you're right, most banks, all banks probably, you know, have a complex architecture, particularly where it comes to their payment flows.
Yeah.
And when they are supporting multiple payment schemes as we do. When you unlock that though, payments are not that complex in and of themselves. You can only make a debit or a credit. Mm-hmm. It can only be domestic or cross-border. You're either going to do bulk or a single payment.
Yeah.
And when you sort of look at that and the, you know, am I doing it now or am I going to do it later, like a deferred back versus an instant. If you simplify it down to that level, and you look at the microservices and the capabilities you need to support, you can actually redefine the whole model. And that's part of the agenda and the opportunity that we all have as an industry. Because if we keep that complexity, we're not going to get to a more frictionless and even climate ready ecosystem.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I think with the, so you've got the architectural decisions, the components, positioning for that change. And in some of the, obviously we have conversations with many people across the industry, banks, our customers, and the vendors of these big payments platforms. Mm-hmm. And over time, I think what we've seen is that the big players that provide your payments engine, those products have come in and they've been, you know, the marketing story is that they're big and flexible and can do anything. So then you put anything and everything into them, and then that's a bit different for you, a bit different from the other bank here and here. That becomes an expensive set of systems for the vendors to look after. It becomes a bit slower and more cumbersome than you.
Yes.
So some of this transformation, this journey is about bringing control back into the hands of the bank, right?
Correct. And yeah, one of the key strategies is around ensuring that we have more of that empowerment internally, not just in payments, but across technology as a whole. And you know, it comes back to that flexibility point, because if you're continually reliant on, you know, the product supplier or partner, you know, there's a prioritization that needs to occur both with them and yourselves. There's the sequencing with the rest of the change going on within the organization. And of course, yes, there is the cost side, but there's also an IP side in the sense of empowering and making exciting for the engineering community that they can actually have something tangible to own and build. And if we go back 40, 50 years, that's what they used to do. So you know, we're sort of a bit of a back to the future, if you like, with regards to how we look at technology and how we empower our resources to have that accountability and ownership as we move forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's a powerful thing, because they themselves are also the customers at the other end.
Right.
So they are coding for their own experiences in a lot of cases.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we've got a large team of technology professionals now in Red Campus Labs, and we're very proud of them. But they do want to work on latest, greatest, interesting technology. And the same with your people. And if they're owning that, as you say, they're owning that technology delivery for a business purpose. I think it empowers the workers to know how their work contributes to the front line. I think that line of sight is really helpful. Just thinking about people, though, and you mentioned earlier, I think about in the operations teams looking after it, how does the technology changes that we're looking to make, and in fact you are making, we're making some together, how does that change the day in the life of the ops teams?
If anything, it's, well, I remember when I joined the industry in the UK and the big program, Pan Industry, was the check clearing image program. And yeah, the timelines and the impact on the industry as a whole saw a lot of extra work land in operations centres in that time. And I think it's, again, a reflection of when we start these big industry-wide programs, and ISO 222 is a classic current example, is having that time and that consideration of how much you can embed in the code to the left as opposed to just throwing it at people in ops centers on the right. Mm-hmm. But what we are seeing is other technologies coming in as well to help support all of this, AI being one. And it's really a case of where we continue to look at how can we automate and continually think automation first,
people's
manual process second. Because anything manual, you're always going to be exposed to, you know, the human psyche and outcomes happen. Mm-hmm. So we need to protect as much as we can to allow the operation to be the supporting capability that it needs to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and really, that they are there truly for the exceptions and for any other sort of new things that nobody could have thought of.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So take away the more commodity, the simpler tasks. Take them away from people. And I'm sure those people themselves don't want to come and do potentially some dull tasks over and over. If the machine can automate away that, leaving the people to deal with the complex issues or the new things or the challenging things.
Well, it's giving them the power to be doing the value add.
Exactly.
Which they do even on the manual processes today, because without them, those processes wouldn't conclude.
Couldn't finish it.
But it's how we actually support that in a more future ready state as we reflect where the industry is going. You know, we're having higher velocity of payments. We're going to have more data in those same payments. So all of that changes the opportunities around products and features and services going forward. So how can people who've gained years of experience in the operations really support the product roadmap, but also new features and opportunities for the bank and
for the industry? Exactly. I'm thinking again of those operations teams, instant payments, round the clock.
Yes.
How does that change? A day in the life of an operations team suddenly went from 8 hours or so of a shift to 24 hours.
And I think we've seen over the last few decades, new banks started in the UK, and I'm thinking of a credit card one in particular, who was opening their first 24/7 operation, and the rest of the incumbent industry sort of saw that as a bit of a laugh. But actually, it took off because payments don't stop because it's Friday night at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Actually, they ramp up because people are buying their end of week drinks, or they're going out to restaurants, they're going shopping on the week. So, we don't live in a 5-day-a-week society. We never have. So we do need to continue to put that again, when you look at 24/7 and you look at instant payments, it puts that stronger encumbrance back on the technology solutions to make sure straight-through processing is the norm. And again, we reduce that exception handling to the bare minimum.
Exactly. Exceptions is where we want the people to be playing. That's right. I guess one thing, back to the technology, and if I think together we've been able to apply these microservices components in a couple of different use cases. But speaking with one of our team just the other day, and they were particularly proud of the visibility of what's happening, that you can see across the NatWest payments ecosystem now of where the data is flowing, where the problems are. I think that's really key and important as well, would you say?
It is, and really where we are diving into here is back to my island point, but end-to-end payment journeys and that visibility of the technology that empowers each step is critical. Now, I've had past organizations I've worked for where we knew by the millisecond each step along the way and then the overall time it took.
Yeah.
And then you could look at where your hotspots were, where you could gain efficiencies or so on. And again, when you're talking milliseconds, it may not sound a lot, but when you multiply that by millions of volume,
you
can actually, the multiplier effect kicks in. But we really need to continue to be aware, but also continue to educate. Payments, for a lot of people, can be seen as a bit of a dark art. and people say, you join the payments industry, you never leave. And I'm a great advocate for that because I often say to my team that if you leave, you'll be back, and they usually are. But the point being, because it is so dynamic and so on, but if you're not in the core of payments, once you've initiated at a channel or in an operations center and so on, most people really don't know what's happening downstream.
Absolutely,
And when you add in the control functions you need to be considering, like sanctions or fraud and tools like that, any other data that you might want to aggregate in to support those paths, et cetera, there's a real need for that transparency. And then on the tech side, it's encouraging engineers and all skills, frankly, in my organization and the like, to understand what's happened to the left and the right, and not just being fixated on
their
payment engine or the integration service or the gateway.
Yeah, I think that end-to-end point is really key, isn't it? And visibility of the piece and the end-to-end journey, because you're responsible, of course, for the payment hitting the bank and leaving the bank.
Correct.
And knowing what happens at every step within that. I think that's vital. And instantly. And 24/7.
In the main.
Getting there. So we've talked about, and I guess conscious of time, there's lots going on from ISO, from instant payments, from cross-border, all sorts of things happening. And there's the regulatory push, I guess, behind to make NatWest and others be ready for those. Then there's the changing customer demands, and they're always wanting something new, and you've got to delight them, keep them, attract new.
Yeah.
And all of that change has to happen when you can't be down. So you are rewiring while the lights and the TV and everything is very much on. And at the same time, trying to simplify the whole flow. Because as you say, in essence, it's quite simple, but there are there'd be dragons inside. There's complexity inside, and you know, routing rules and charges, and then how that all interfaces, and the timing. Timing is a big thing, and how do you properly test for things that will be multi-day movements and so on? All these things can bring complexity, but it's not impossible. It just needs to be thought through. You need to make that visible with the right people, the right technology. So all of that's happening. And again, of course, once ISO's finally finished, if that day ever comes, there's NPA, the whole new payments architecture that we've been on the edge of our seats waiting for a little while. At some point in the next few years, that's going to land and might shake things up domestically, at least.
But even certainly internally, and I'd argue increasingly being understood, is whether it be NPA, whether it be SEPA, they're all ISO at the end of the day. And this comes back to the agenda around harmonisation of standards across the schemes.
Yeah.
Both from a, you know, from a regulator standpoint, so financial market infrastructures, etc. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, will the journey end? Possibly not, because we're always needing to evolve. And when we look at the data elements that sit within the message standard, you know, they always evolve as well. Yeah. And I saw that with NPP in Australia a few years back, and even ongoing to this day. Mm-hmm. And the flexibility of a message standard like that is about that future flexibility, growth, you know, agreeing as an industry on new, you know, other structured data fields, the data itself and the data elements, and again, harmonizing to support. So that agenda isn't going to stop anytime soon, in my view. And the reality is, it's how we then leverage that from the growth side. So to my earlier point, you know, being seen as reg tech, mm-hmm. but really trying to shift towards that growth agenda and that feature release
customer focus.
Yeah. Because if we don't focus on the end customer experience or recognize that that's what this is all about, then what are we really doing? You know, resilience is critical, but resilience is hygiene factor, should be hygiene factor.
It's just got to have it.
Because you know, on a cell phone, you're not going to sit and wait for the app to start up or for the payment. You know, everything is instant gratification. So, you know, and again, back to the Amazon point, they've been trained.
Yeah.
Customers have been trained, and we need to respond to that.
That's right. So those demands, it's a very demanding customer and unpredictable, actually, in many ways. So those changes at the customer end will continue to happen, and the demands will keep on pulling what we need to provide to them in different directions.
But within that, the unpredictable point, actually it's down to the quality of the data from the initiation at the outset. Because when you think about the tens of thousands of banks that exist in the world, mm-hmm. all interconnected via different schemes, mm-hmm. yeah, the variance of data quality and the impact of that data back to the operation centers we were talking about before, yeah, is something which, yeah, it's going to take a long road for that harmonisation agenda to come to light. Mm. And we may solve for that from a United Kingdom standpoint, but how does that then tie into Europe? How does that tie into the globe?
Yeah.
And that will take a lot of time, to unpick, but also to stay focused going forward.
Exactly. So the excitement in payments will continue. People who are in payments, they need never leave because it's always changing, right?
It is always changing. And look,
you know, wave keeps on rolling.
Doing payments for 30 years and across all sectors. And that's the key thing that I enjoy about it, because it is multi-sector. You know, it is multinational. And you can never get bored with payments. There's always something new tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a fascinating area to be in, and it's very exciting right now. I think, so with all this change and all this is happening, what personally now, you know, we're after hours, we're kicking back, we're not quite having a beer because it's still early in the day, but you know, if it's a little bit later, we might. Of all of that that's changing, that's happening, what excites you, Ian, in terms of the technology movements and changes or opportunities that you can see?
I think it's the shift that we're seeing around more focus on low-code and solutions that are out there, which then provides back to the empowering of an organization like ourselves to do more in-house, mm-hmm. about and also being able to support, you know, other role types across the organization to be involved. So that's one dimension that definitely excites. I think the other part, and the byproduct of that, is reducing total cost of ownership and those types of other benefits. I think the other side is when we look at how the industry is evolving. And you know, regulation for years in different markets, in Australia and the UK, has been about access and we see open banking and the like. But what's going to really happen is we evolve account to account payments, because there's still a long journey there around to protect the customer experience in those banks. So how does technology respond to support that?
Yeah.
We continue to see the evolution around threat vectors on fraud and related issues. So again, what can technology do to support and reduce that impact to the industry and the cost burden that it has on the industry as well? And then lastly, you know, there's the new technologies. I mean, blockchain is still something which in some cases still a solution looking for a problem, but there are a lot of opportunities for it as well. And I think that its day will come, as is AI as well. So as I said, nothing to be bored with for the next, certainly the next 5 to 10 years at least.
Plenty to keep us busy today and interested for tomorrow.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. So this conversation has been sort of headlined as powering payments change through microservices. Any closing comments, thoughts on that whole approach?
Just keep in mind that modernization is critical, and using the latest techniques to support that agenda is what we should all be considering, and being bold enough to actually take that journey, but to bring in the skills that you need to support you to make it a success from day one. Yes, there'll be little mini failures along the way, but that's part of the learning experience, and we should encourage that, because from that we'll continue to innovate and continue to improve. So I'd say this, everybody should be focused on embracing the future and looking at those microservices and related techniques to simplify their environment.
So modernization is simplification, streamlining, positioning for flexibility.
Correct.
Recognizing we don't get everything right in the first go, but we can take a detour and get back on track.
And respond to the context of the time.
Exactly, which will keep changing. And so payments is the place to be and will remain so. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Ian. Thank you for joining us for this session of After Hours. Very much enjoyed talking to you as ever. Mm-hmm. Good luck with the ongoing transformation.
We'll do.
Look forward to continuing to be part of it.
Absolutely.
Right alongside.
Enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to After Hours by Red Compass Labs. If you've enjoyed this discussion and are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, please do follow us to be informed about new podcasts coming up. That's all for this episode. See you next time.